Good morning. It is 21st of April, Sunday, 2024, and we are in Eastertide still. Blessed third Sunday of Eastertide to you too, Evelyn. Welcome the few of you who are here this early on a Sunday morning, but you know, it's Sunday. I have to get the family up to go to Mass here soon. We'll jump into these stories. There's a story that came across my desk yesterday afternoon that I thought would be appropriate to talk about on a Sunday. We'll get to that after we talk a little bit about dear Francis. So let's go to one of the stories that's in the thumbnail today. Headline from Vatican News, the news arm of Vatican City. Pope Francis. St. Pius X was a pope near to people who suffer. Pope Francis writes a preface for a new book by Father Lucio Bonora on Pope St. Pius X and praises the 20th century pope for the depth of his catechesis in opposition to World War I. Okay. There is a bit of an irony about Francis embracing Pope St. Pius X because St. Pius X would have been... let's be honest with ourselves here, completely opposed to everything Francis was doing. St. Pius X is the pope who penned Pascendi Dominici Gregis, the papal encyclical that every other weekend before Lent and now after Lent, we've been going over small portions of it to understand the heresy of modernism. The document is so dense that you can't really go through it. Most people can't really go through it in one sitting by themselves, but a little 8 to 10 minute reading of the document every other week seems to be a good pace for people to understand what's going on. Pius X condemned everything Francis stands for, like everything. And it's kind of funny, this here. So we're going to talk about this because I wouldn't go quite so far as to say that he's rebranding St. Pius X to be like him, but he's trying to compare himself to that, which is weird. So just from the article. Pius X was a pope who made the entire church understand that without the Eucharist and without the assimilation of revealed truth, personal faith weakens and dies. Pope Francis offered that praise of his predecessor, Pope St. Pius X, who had an 11-year papacy, that might be why Francis is doing this, in a preface he wrote for a new book entitled Tribute to Pius X, Contemporary Portraits. The book was written by Father Lucio Bonora, a priest from the Italian city of Treviso, the birthplace of Pius X, and an official at the Vatican Secretariat of State. In his preface released on Wednesday, Pope Francis said he holds the late pope in high esteem, recalling that he would meet yearly with catechists of the Archdiocese of Buenos Aires on his feast day, August 21st. I enjoyed spending time with those dedicated to instructing children and adults in the truths of the faith, he said. And Pius X has always been known as the Pope of Catechesis. He added that Pius X was a gentle yet strong pope, a humble and clear pope. St. Pius X approved the creation of the Pontifical Biblical Institute run by the Jesuits in Rome, a decision which endeared him to Jesuits, said Pope Francis. The late pope wept at the onset of the First World War and pleaded with the powerful to lay down their arms. How close I feel to him in this tragic moment of the modern world, said Pope Francis of Pius X. We're going to pause here. How close I feel to him in this tragic moment of the modern world. Okay. Pius X also promulgated the oath against modernism, reduced plenty of clerics to the lay state who were modernists, reduced at least one high-profile bishop to being a diocesan priest after he had been in the Roman Curia for some time because he was a modernist, and combated modernism as best he could for his entire pontificate. His reforms only failed to stop it because, as some critics have noted recently, his successors didn't pick them up after him. If there is a pope who is in every way the opposite of Pius X, sort of an anti-Pius X, it would be Francis. They both were willing to use power to achieve what they needed to, much to the discomfort of some in the clergy. Pius X, his oath against modernism, I have on the channel. Just go look at my channel videos. I do a search. There's a little search bar you can do, not the main one above, but there's a smaller one above videos. You can just do a search for the Oath Against Modernism, and you'll find it. And the Oath Against Modernism is literally a promise to not do the things Francis has done, to not believe the theology that allows Francis to do what he's done to the church. He's comparing himself to Pius X because of a proximity to the conflict that would begin at the very end of Pius X's life, and one that people think might be coming. I don't know what is the basis beyond that for his comparison, because anything else becomes an attempt to rebrand St. Pius X. He says, Pius X was a pope who was a monument to pastoral care, as defined by Pope St. John XXIII when he allowed Venice to venerate his mortal remains at St. Mark's in the spring of 1959. Pope Francis thanked Father Bonora for his years of research into the life of Pius X, saying his dedication and passion emerged in the text. The legacy of St. Pius X and of the Pope belongs to the Church of today, and to the baptized of all ages who seek to be faithful to the gospel and to their pastors. Long live St. Pius X, and may he live deeply in the heart of today's church. All that is true. All that is actually true. And it's just really funny that he would do that. Welcome to the channel membership, John. I greatly appreciate it. Channel members, any channel member watching that's through the YouTube's channel member feature, you get a free super chat. Like, I think it's once a month or something. So feel free to use it. I mean, it makes it so I can definitely see your comment. It highlights it for me in ways that doesn't for others. So I want to go to, there's two other stories here, and I want to go over to them because I had been saving these for some time, and we get this story here from the Not the Bee. Now, the Not the Bee is a website run by the same people who do the Babylon Bee. But these are all true stories, absolutely true stories, hysterical. You would think that they were fake, but they're not. Did lose one of my tabs here, but that's okay. We'll find it here in a second. This story from Not the Bee. The Olympics is coming, so we've got the ceremonial prayer and praise to Apollo and Zeus. Yes, they have brought back early rituals from the ancient games, pre-modern games, for Zeus and Apollo, what they would do allegedly to launch the Olympics in ancient times. It looks pretty harmless, but you know there she's now invoking them in some sort of like prayer. This is demonic. It doesn't look demonic to most people, but this is demonic. All the gods of the Gentiles are devils, so saith St. Paul. So they're now doing like what looks like a harmless sort of veneration of what most people consider mythological creatures. Probably the person participating, all the people there participating, believe what they're doing is embracing mythology. What they're doing is engaging in an ancient demonic practice. And you can go on. I mean, look, go past her, like, you know, her incantation. But this is ancient demonic stuff. Come back to the fore. And I got to tell you, this is part and parcel of everything we've seen in the world today. I mean, people like to bring up, you know, things going on with a certain scientific facility in, I think, Switzerland, right? Where they've invoked similar kinds of things, except much more overt and much more evil looking. This is stuff that they're going to broadcast you're going to see this stuff broadcast around the world for the games when they start this summer, 2024 Summer Olympics. Selenial says, well, I didn't like the Olympics too much anyway. Right. I was always the only games I ever watched during the Olympics. If I could was like US basketball. And that's about it. I mean, summer games have never been my thing, but you're now seeing a return to essentially Hellenic paganism. The dragon that was wounded but came back from the book of the Apocalypse, right? Yeah, that's what we're saying. Good morning to Robert Richardson, who also became a channel member. Again, you get a free super chat every once a month or so. when you are, plus all the perks for being a channel member. So thank you for joining. It is greatly appreciated. There was the other story. I'm going to find it. Like I said, I lost a couple of my tabs here this morning, but there was a, you've probably heard this story, right? There's a, the story of the demonic visages. Have you heard this story? Demonic face syndrome is what they're calling it. Well, you get this, this broke in during Holy Week. This is an interesting story that broke during Holy Week. And so we'll go over this. And I've been sitting on this because I wanted to do an end times watch thing, but I did want to just do a video on this. So we'll talk about it now. We've got this from People. And USA Today did a story on this. So did NBC News. The mainstream media all did a story on this at the same time. And I kind of wonder, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, they're trying to dismiss this as a sort of a malady of the head, that people are having there's something wrong with them if they're seeing this. And I almost wonder if there are some people out there who are actually seeing something. So headline from People, of all places: rare disorder makes people think they're seeing demonic faces like a creature in a horror movie. Called prosopempatemorphopsia, the disorder causes people's faces to appear grossly stretched out in demon-like ways. I've never even heard of this until this broke. And you have to wonder about this. So we're going to put this out there along with that story from Not the Bee, because they are doing these rituals there. We know that there's other stuff like that going on, and then we're having this happen. They say a rare disorder makes people think they're seeing demon-like faces everywhere, with people's eyes and mouths stretched out, ears pointed, and deep grooves carved into their faces. Called prosopempatemorphopsia, the disorder was recently diagnosed in a 59-year-old man, according to a study published in The Lancet. The disorder is so rare that, according to one 2021 report, only 81 cases have been recorded. It's like staring at demons, the patient, Victor Shira, told CNN. Imagine waking up one morning and suddenly everybody in the world looks like a creature in a horror movie. According to the study, the patient stated that the distortions, severely stretched features of the face with deep grooves on the forehead, cheeks, and chin, were present on every person's face he encountered, but he reported no distortions when looking at objects such as houses or cars. He says that even though faces were distorted, he was still able to recognize who they were. Only when looking directly at a person, not when looking at a photo or a computer screen. So researchers were able to create photorealistic depictions of what those with prosopempatemorphopsia would see. He said the study didn't find the cause of the disorder, but researchers did know he had an arachnoid cyst in his brain. It's a non-cancerous fluid-filled sac that grows on the brain or spinal cord. It may cause headaches or seizures. Treatment isn't always necessary unless they cause problems, like maybe this. So I don't know. What do you think of that? I'm very curious what people think about that when they see this stuff, because we're starting to get hit with all this kind of a lot of our betters hitting people with some really odd supernatural things. Now, it could very well be that all these media outlets thought this would be a great way to get some, you know, clicks to their website. I sat on this because I didn't want to just do a video like that, but having this as part of, like, this talk about a sort of a return to evil in the world, an overt evil. We'll get away from People Magazine there. Pop-up ad city. Return to overt evil. Remember, the devil doesn't care who you worship, as long as you don't worship the triune God. That's all. That's what anything else is just icing on the cake, as long as you're not worshiping God. This story is one of those that kind of made me wonder a little bit. Are these people seeing something a little bit more real? They say there's only 81 people have ever been found with it, but I sometimes have to wonder. Brandon says, could be the reason for people freaking out on flights. Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, also, society is really tightly wound right now. We're all wound up. We're all engaged. We're all highly stressed, and that's not helping either. Constantly being stressed. You're seeing people who aren't even like on our broad side of things in the culture, who are pointing out that most of the people that we really don't get along with and really oppose what they're doing are just constantly keeping people stressed, and it's not helping anybody. Evelyn heard about this last week. Yeah, I sat on this for a few days because I wanted to like wait until something else happened before I talked about it. Yeah, I think there's a lot of more going on with all of this. So, and this is why I go back to that Babylon Bee story, or not the Babylon, not the Bee. Remember, this story comes from Not the Bee, right? So they say, again, the Olympics is coming, so we've got the ceremonial prayer and praise, essentially demons. Remember, all the gods of the Gentiles are demons, right? All of them, including apparently Google's ridiculous amount of ads they run on everything. He said, the article says, bro, I don't want to be one of those demons behind every rock kind of Christians, but are we all on board with these pagan rituals? The Olympic Games is channeling their Greek origins by paying homage to one of the false Greek gods, Zeus. They tell you to watch the video. We already went over that. Then we get a minute of praise and prayer in Greek to Apollo and Zeus in the pantheon of Greek gods. Maybe I'm ignorant, but does this happen every Olympics? Is this a new thing? It's just bizarre. I'm all for celebrating Greek culture, but praying to Zeus? Open paganism. Is that what the Olympic Games are about? No, they're not supposed to be about that. But that's what they become. The broadcaster called her a priestess, but according to the Associated Press, this is an actress pretending to be a priestess. And then they quote an Associated Press article saying, an actor playing an ancient Greek priestess holds a silver torch containing highly combustible materials over a concave mirror. The sun's rays bounce off every inch of the burnished metal half globe and come together at one extremely hot point, which ignites the torch. This happens inside the archaeological site at Olympia before the ancient temple of Hera, wife of Zeus, king of the Greek gods, whose own ruined temple lies close by. And they go on saying, I mean, can't we just play the games, keep the pageantry, keep the torch, and lose the pagan prayers to false gods? The pagan ceremony apparently has its origins not in ancient Greece, but in 1930s Germany, of all places. Makes you wonder why they're doing this. Flames and sandals make for an impressive spectacle, and while the priestess's largely tongue-in-cheek prayer to Apollo might not be answered, the parabolic mirror works well. The idea was the result of a Greek-German cooperation ahead of the 1936 Olympics, which were heavy on fanfare and certain kinds of symbology. It was based on a mechanism mentioned by ancient Greek writers in a non-Olympic context and served the desire to blend the games of antiquity with the modern revival, etc., etc. So they've got ironic paganism inspired by those guys happening here, and I guess we're all cool with it. Today's world, the paganism becoming less and less ironic, this ceremony is striking a different chord. And yeah, that's absolutely true. And one has to wonder, is all this stuff in your face having an effect on people in ways we're not willing to admit? That's kind of the point I'm getting at here with this story. Good morning, everyone else who are joining us late. Mary says, from Ireland, pagans assemble on the hill Tara here in midsummer to do their thing. Yeah, yeah, you've got the, I believe, is Ireland home of the famous Midsummer Festival? Hollywood has made some movies about it, and actually in a weird kind of way. Whenever Hollywood makes a movie about it, it never makes it look good, which is weird, given that you would think Hollywood would celebrate it, but they always make them as horror movies. But if that's the one I'm thinking of, maybe you should pray a rosary during, you know, and offer some penance and fasting as best you can during those times. Robert Richardson says, Pope Francis is my favorite pope in history. His quote, modernism is the synthesis of all evils, is on a plaque on my door of my prayer room, but I seriously despise Pope Francis, which is why it's odd that he was comparing himself to the two. Yeah, so again, Sunday morning, we keep the Sunday live streams are either really light on the news, or we give you some letter from a bishop. I have some really heavy news tomorrow that I'm saving. It'll be fun, we'll say. But the question I have for you, are you surprised to see what's going on with the Olympics? Are you surprised to see about the same time that that's happening, all of a sudden people being diagnosed with seeing every human face around them being demonic? Either something supernatural, or you think that's just as the medical experts have said. I'm curious what you have to say about that. So let me know in the comments. As for the fundraiser that the viewer started for me after my Easter news 3 weeks ago today, we are at 90%. So I want to thank everybody who has helped. Put a link there in the live chat. I'll put something in the comments after the video is done, or if the live stream is done. Any final thoughts on all this before I go? Kathleen says, or I can't put that comment on the screen, I think, because of the invocation of some things there, but she does say there's no need to recreate any ceremony from ancient Greece for the sport festival. Zero if the 30s guys were involved in it. It's a good reason not to do it. Right, you would think so. Philip also reminds people, hit the like button. Please do so. That does help. A lot of weird things going on YouTube these days. So, Smiling Anglerfish did mention Malachi Martin mentioning demonic faces. Yeah, that's a thread I'm going to follow. So thank you for reminding me about that, actually. That's a thread I'll follow because that's for a future Malachi Martin video, I think. Anyway, thanks for tuning in today, folks. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.